From NPR News, it's Morning Edition. I'm Steve Inskeep. At the commencement at the U.S. Military Academy at West Point over the weekend, President Bush noted that 34 former cadets had died since the beginning of the war on terror. Then the president said this.
We will honor the memory of those brave souls. We will finish the task for which they gave their lives. We will complete the mission.
This was not the first time a president has invoked such sacrifices as a reason for continuing the war. It's an argument almost as old as war itself. David Rabin has more.
Mr. Bush's homage to the dead has many antecedents, the most famous coming after a momentous Civil War battle. In the Gettysburg Address, read here by actor Sam Waterston, President Lincoln said the fallen shall not have died in vain.
That from these honored dead, we take increased devotion to that cause for which they gave the last full measure of devotion.
But Lincoln was far from the first to employ this idea. Such oratory dates back to at least the Athenian leader Pericles. He delivered a eulogy containing this concept after the first clash of the Peloponnesian Wars in the 5th century BC. So says Denise Bosdorf, associate professor of communication at Worcester College. She says this form of ceremonial speech allows family and friends to find meaning in the loss of loved ones. In addition, it makes it hard to criticize the speaker or the policy in question.
Even if it is not a eulogy, you will sometimes see these appeals woven in with more specific discussions of policy because it's a great way to deflect criticism by imbuing the policy talk with ceremony where questions are not asked.
David Zarefsky, professor of communication studies at Northwestern University, offers another oft-used rationale behind this kind of homage.
We must do more in order to justify what we've done already so that we won't waste our original investment. It's not unlike the gambler who keeps putting money into the slot machine in the hope that the original investment will pay off.
Zarefsky says the argument is often used by wartime presidents and doesn't speak to whether the original policy decision was justified or not. It simply says the war must continue because we've sacrificed too much to quit. Some argue presidents invoke the call for honoring the dead when a war is long and difficult. But presidential historian Robert Dalek says faltering support is the primary motivator. Case in point, after the battle at Gettysburg, many Northerners were questioning Lincoln, who was facing re-election. Robert Dalek.
His leadership, his wisdom in selecting generals, the fact that the war was going on for as long as it did. This is a victory at Gettysburg, but the Union has suffered severe losses, and it's not crystal clear by any means that they're going to win.
Dalek adds that finish the mission rhetoric may stir patriotism and commitment in the short run, but it can't be sustained unless supported by the reality on the ground. A good example of sustained support is the Second World War. Hollywood spread the word with wartime movies like Gung Ho. Here, actor Randolph Scott, after an early victory that was not without its losses, looks ahead.
Our course is clear. It is for us at this moment, with the memory of the sacrifice of our brothers still fresh, to dedicate again our hearts, our minds, and our bodies to the great task that lies ahead. And beyond that lies the mission of making certain that the social order which we bequeath to our sons and daughters is truly based on freedom, for which these men died.
These sentiments were also heard in another voice from that era.
It is our obligation to our dead.
That's President Roosevelt giving one of his famous fireside chats 2 days after the Japanese attack on Pearl Harbor. FDR said the nation learned that ocean borders could not protect us.
It is our sacred obligation to their children and to our children that we must never forget what we have learned.
Moving on to Vietnam, here's President Johnson in 1967 awarding the Congressional Medal of Honor to a dead Marine. LBJ gave thanks for all those who have died preserving our freedom.
And to them be honor and praise. And to us is the responsibility for redeeming their sacrifice.
Professor Dalek says LBJ's call to arms wasn't sustainable because the battlefield reality rudely intervened.
Lyndon Johnson, there's light at the end of the tunnel, he kept saying. And as one wit said at the time, sometimes light at the end of the tunnel is from an onrushing train.
Which brings us full circle to President Bush and the Iraq War. Like many wartime presidents before him, Mr. Bush is making the case that sacrifices in blood are one reason to continue fighting, not a reason to question the fighting. For NPR News, I'm David Rabin in Washington.